I am Gary Colley. Our country, of course, was settled by great men, men who were willing to stand even though they were persecuted. And you know, liberty has always come at a great cost. That's the reason, indeed, blood was shed for our nation and is being shed today sometimes for our nation because we're in war. But the same is true concerning the church of our Lord. In Acts 20:28, Jesus, of him it is said by Paul, to the elders at Ephesus, take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. After my departing, grievous wolves, he said, will enter in, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Yes, indeed, our freedom in Christ has been bought at a dear price, the blood of Christ. And if you do not come into contact with that blood, by your obedience to the gospel, consummating it in baptism, that is, being baptized into his death, you will not be saved, my friends, and that we can find in the Bible quite clearly. In Ezekiel 18:20, he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So we realize that without Christ, there is no hope in the world. And, indeed, we need to know that only in obedience to his will can we possibly be saved. You know the avoidance that many people want to have today of the word sin or of salvation or sinners is indeed not that which it ought to be. It's a refusal to recognize the awfulness of sin and of being sinners. And do you know of anyone who calls one a sinner now? That's the root cause of the turmoil and the strife in our lives today. It accounts also for the casualness, as we pointed out last Lord's Day, and the lack of respect and reverence for God. It is responsible for many of the new and contemporary worship forms that we're finding in many, many churches today. And they want to call it contemporary worship. It is really a departure from God's truth. It is that which substitutes that which God has commanded for what man wants. And as they have those stand-up comics, or they have drama, or they have children's church, or they have the Lord's Supper other days than on the first day of the week, all of this focuses, my friends, on turning away from God and from not doing his will. And indeed, men are sinners who act in this way. There is no two ways about it. God is a spirit, John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, that is the proper attitude, and in truth, that is in harmony with God's word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:40 that all things are to be done decently and in order. And that doesn't sound like what we're seeing today in the so-called contemporary worship, where the stomping of the feet, the waving of the hands, and many other things that should not be have come into men's worship. It's also necessitated, you know, a change in the church music. Some, of course, of the beloved hymns, such as John Newton's in 17:7-9, that went, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And so must James Rowe, early 20th century favorite song, go, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. How long has it been since we've sung that song? Many of our modern books don't even have that song in there. Why? Because they don't think sin and the sinner need to be expelled. But my friends, God does. That's no longer acceptable to sing those songs in some places because, you see, the worshiper must not be led to believe he's sinking deep in sin. He must not be made to feel that he needs to be lifted out of sin or saved from it. Does it make any difference, my friends, which hymns we sing? Well, what do you think? It is said that we are to speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Well, the truth of the matter is, then, we don't have solos, we don't have choirs, we don't have quartets. We have everyone singing, speaking one to another. And the truth of the matter is that the Bible still speaks on the subject of sin. The word sin in its various forms sins, sinned, sinneth, sinners, appears in the Bible, do you know what? 834 times. The Scripture still says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it still says that we're all under sin, Romans 3:9. In Romans 5:12, it said, wherefore is through one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, Jesus himself said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Matthew 9 and verse 13. Well, what is sin? There are five different biblical words that define sin. Did you know that? And each sheds a little different light on the dark subject of sin. The first word translated sin in the Bible means missing the mark, as if an archer who aims an arrow at a target, but he misses it. That's what sin is defined as. The arrow might go beyond the target, in which case it would be called transgression. Transgression literally means to step across. We might visualize it as a line separating right and wrong, and a person sins when he steps across the line. Now, in 2 John 1:9, he said, whosoever transgresses, steps across the line, and does not abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, he does not have God. He that abideth in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, of the archer's arrow, it might come short of the target, in which case, among other things, it could indicate a failure to do good. You know, James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Another word that is translated sin in our English versions of the Bible is the word lawlessness. And it presents the idea of willful sin and transgression. It appears in Romans 6:1, where after Paul's great lesson in Romans 5, he made a strong case, you know, for salvation or forgiveness by God's marvelous and abundant grace. He asked, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, a life of lawlessness? That's what that means right there. Shall we continue in a life of lawlessness that grace may abound? Certainly not, or God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live therein any longer? Now, finally, there's a word for sin as debt. Jesus used that word in Matthew 6:12 when he said, he taught his disciples how to pray. He said, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Meaning, of course, our debt to sin. Not of any financial indebtedness, but the debt of sin. Well, I'd like to say here just a little bit more, but time demands that we move on. Sin, tell us, what is sin? Well, there are several places in the New Testament that sort of catalog sin. None of them are complete list, but let's notice a couple of them. First of all, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Here, the sinful behavior is described as works of the flesh. And Paul said, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfishness, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and such like. Now, the Holy Spirit then adds the punishment of God upon those that do them. He said, of which I tell you beforehand, as I have told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, another parallel list of sinful behaviors in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Do you not know, he said, or know you not, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate or homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So from that last verse, verse 11, we can determine that people can change, can't they? Despite the fact that we have all sinned, by the grace of God, we can be forgiven. Now, you may want to compare, or contrast may be better choice of words here, the hellfire and brimstone preaching of yesteryear with that found in the Bible. And with the modern thought, I, of course, heard not too long ago, while I was preparing a message, the preacher was saying something to the effect that Jesus didn't go around telling all about the bad in people Instead, he magnified the good in them. But, my friends, if you've heard your Bible and read it completely, you know that Jesus denounced hypocrisy and sham religion shamelessly. You know that Jesus Christ preached more about repentance and forgiveness than anyone in the New Testament. He tried to teach and persuade people to turn from their sinful living, didn't he? Unto God. He commended John the Baptist highly as a great prophet. He said there was no prophet like him. And he looked as to how John preached to the people as being that. He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath which is to come, Matthew 3:7. Well, Jesus preached more about hell with its fire and brimstone than anyone in the New Testament. He said there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell, Matthew 13:50. He also said of hell, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, Mark 9:44. Oh yes, Jesus preached to sinners, didn't he? And the hand of the angry God who would punish them because of it. And we need to do the same. Been a pleasure to discuss these things with you. We're hopeful that if you find your condition to be wrong today, that you'll come in obedience to the gospel while there's time and opportunity.